Welcome. It's the Bible Study on the Messenger of Good News, Worldwide, KFUO. KFUO is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I'm Roland Lettner. Thank you for being with us. Here as we reach midweek on the Bible Study. Are you going to be going to Advent service this afternoon or this evening? I don't know. Pastor Schenck, how about you? Will you be at church tonight?
We will be. 7 p.m.
That's because you have to be.
I want to be.
You want to be? Well, we'll get into that a little bit during the study today. Romans 15, verses 14 to 21 is our assignment for today. Pastor John Schenck is here, serving at Trinity Lutheran Church in Edwardsville, Illinois, on that Wet Street. Was it Wet Street? Is it?
Water Street.
Water Street. Water Street.
Close.
Okay. All I know is bring galoshes.
If you go to
Trinity.
We hope it's dry.
Well, there's got to be a reason why they named it Water Street.
I hope you're not being a prophet here.
Why is it named Water Street if it's not, you know, sort of a damp place?
I don't know.
You see, you have to prepare for the Bible study. You never know what I'm going to ask, do you?
I don't know what you're going to ask me. Water Street because the living waters flow. It's actually not our name. It's a city name. So it's a city street. It's not one that is...
Oh, I see. You're being very, very contemporary. You're blaming someone else.
Yeah. It works well, though. We'll take it. I mean, well, it's better than a lot of names that it could have been.
It's what we've come to in our culture. It's not my fault.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
It's that woman you gave me. Boy, doesn't that sound familiar?
That was a good one.
So, Pastor Schenck, what's new? In all seriousness, because you had, I guess, right as you were leaving, you mentioned on the air that you were having, what, a sausage dinner last time?
Yeah, we had our sausage supper. That went fantastic.
I love those things.
Oh. Yeah, we had about 30 seconds of those. It was on the day all the tornadoes came through.
Yeah.
And so we had all the winds come through, and everybody had to grab a... the tent that was over all the fryers.
Save the sausage.
They did a great job. They did a great job.
Had a good turnout in spite of the weather?
We did.
Excellent.
We did.
Because
it
good,
all,
good.
I mean, once the you know, wind went through, it turned out to be a beautiful day.
Well, yeah, some of your neighbors just a little bit down the road, you know, got hit pretty good.
Yeah, and up north, we were in between them. Because Washington, Missouri got it too.
Yeah.
Or well, Illinois, sorry.
Thanks be to God, the damage was not more extensive.
Absolutely.
It could easily have been. That storm had a lot of potential to do a lot more damage than it did. And matter of fact, I think if you go to lcms.org, the website for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, you can still find links there. I think they're still collecting and recovering and doing work there to bring that congregation, that community back. So check it out.
And when we see of these things to point people in that direction, when you don't have to wait to give to a disaster response fund.
Wait for a disaster and then
to
give?
Come. No. You could actually give ahead so that we're actually prepared to respond immediately. And that fund helps tornado victims, it helps hurricane victims, helps people in other countries for typhoons. It helps people, real people.
And
that
word prepare,
help.
Wow, that word prepare is so important for this Advent tide,
yes.
Especially on this day of observance of, you know, evening Advent, midweek Advent services. Been having a lot of fun with the Studio A program. Last week we did the first three of the seven antiphons. We're going to wrap it up this coming Saturday. And it's all about prepare, slow down. It's not Christmas in spite of what it seems like.
Right.
People are getting tired of me saying that, but there's a reason we have Advent.
It is a season unto itself with the whole purpose and a point, the preparations. But as and then what are we preparing for? Or more properly, who are we preparing for?
Yeah.
These comings
and
of Christ.
And how can you recognize the Christ that comes if you're not prepared? Because
aren't we
commended in Revelation that there's going to be this guy called Satan who comes with wonders and signs? Oh, we'll talk about that in our text today, signs and wonders.
Sure.
How do you tell the real from the false if you're not prepared?
Well, not too long ago, we were here, I don't know if it was over the summer or one of those times that we're in, we were talking about testing the spirits.
Exactly.
Right? We have to test the spirits. And we have to always go back to the Word of God, to what He has already said to be true, an everlasting truth in Him.
It's always back to Scripture.
It's a good program to have, Roland.
Oh, yeah. it works. Every time it's tried, I think I'm safe in saying.
Yeah, it's an important radio program here where we get to talk about God's word to the people of God.
Well, let's begin with prayer.
Let us pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, today, as we remember those who are struggling this Advent season, we ask you to comfort them with your Holy Spirit, to abide with them, and to help us all to be prepared for the great Advent of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has come to us, having been born of the Virgin, who comes to us today in his very word and by the means of his gifts. But Heavenly Father, we ask you to continue to prepare us through those means for his second advent, his final coming on the last day, where we will see him face to face. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Amen.
Amen. If you'd like to join us this morning here in the local area, it's 821-0850. I think we may have repaired whatever the difficulties were with the 800 number. Give them a shot, 1-800-730-2727. I was told they were supposed to be back up and running today. If they're not quite up to speed yet, try the email, kfuo@kfuo.org. And, well, if that doesn't work, just holler. just holler. We'll eventually.
Send a pigeon.
Send a pigeon.
I would think that the email should work the best.
1333 South Kirkwood Road. Just walk in. If you come into the studio today, we'll take your question right live on the air.
Just
bring one of those markers and write it on this vast window that we have, and we'll get it right on the air for you. Okay, it is Romans 15, verses 14 to 21. I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to instruct one another. But on some points I have written to you very boldly by way of reminder, because of the grace given me by God to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God, so that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In Christ Jesus, then, I have reason to be proud of my work for God, for I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience by word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and all the way around to Illyricum, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ, and thus I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation, but as it is written, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand. I think that's a great Advent text also, that closing verse.
Yeah.
And that's sort of the purpose of Advent, to be prepared for those who do not know him, to be told of him. All right, here we begin with what could be some interesting text today. You saw my little blurb on Facebook.
I did.
With the figure, the outline drawing of an archbishop or a bishop, and across the face it says, insert your image here. Well, because we have to talk about what it means, because here's Paul talking about spiritual gifts again, at least as far as teaching the faith is concerned. Is that a fair rendering of what he says here in verse 14?
Yeah, I think it would be fitting for us to make mention as we begin. If people can go back, I know it's probably been a while, but go back a bit in their mind's eye, or go back a little more appropriately in Scripture here. Turn back to Romans 1 and starting.
Now, that was about 100 hours ago.
It's probably a little while ago.
No kidding.
That's why I'll give you the reference.
Thank you.
I will give you the reference. I will just say somewhere in Scripture. Romans 1, starting at verse 8, and following for a couple of about the good paragraph there, Paul talks about his longing to go to Rome and his activity there. That section there connects very well with our section here in Romans 15, 14 through 21 as well. So something to take a look at for yourself to see the connection there and see what Paul was laying down at the beginning and now is coming back to here as we're getting closer to the end, his overall ministry. He is an apostle, an ambassador, and he is sent as one who represents Christ himself for a special purpose, right? You know, there's apostles who are sent to the Jews, and he is sent specifically out to the Gentiles, sent to most of us, right? Most of us would be considered to be Gentiles, right? Non-Jews by birth. So he's been sent out to preach in areas that have never heard.
Yeah.
I have to think about that. That is an amazing, amazingly difficult ministry, I would assume. I'm glad. I'm always thankful that the Lord called me to here at Trinity in Edwardsville, because I've had wonderful pastors that's gone before me. I've had wonderful lay people who have seen it in their wisdom of the will of God here to have a congregation since 1901, to have a school as well since 1901, and want to have those ministries so that they can teach the faith to their children, and then have a place to worship that one and receive his gifts. So it's hard for me to imagine just being sent out to a place that has no knowledge of Christ. In America, most places at least have some knowledge of Jesus, even if that knowledge is way off base.
They've at least heard the name.
Yeah, you have a starting point, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that Paul usually would go to the synagogue and start there and branch out from there.
Yeah, how'd that work out for him?
But yeah, that didn't make things easier.
But he still
did it.
That's the point.
Yeah. So now he is again laying down who he is as a minister.
This is always important to know who the audience is that these comments, because sometimes the letter is addressed to the church in general at Rome. But some portions may be for specific people or for specific groups within the church. So when he says in verse 14, I myself am satisfied about you,
mm-hmm.
who is the you of verse 14?
It does appear that we are going back. So we're going back to the beginning of the purposes of writing. So we're going back to the general you as the church that he is writing to. It is the plural you.
Hmm.
And it's not just everybody in Rome, but he is calling them brothers, which is a statement of their faith, right? They've been united to him in faith, and so now he can call them his brothers in Christ.
And brothers is an umbrella term. Does that include women, or is that exclusively a male term?
It is a I would say it starts off with a male term. It is a male term, but as they are in the church, this you all, it is everyone there who is a brother, a sister, united with them in Christ.
So if you're from the Southland, you might say, all y'all.
All y'all.
All y'all. All right. The reason I have to ask is because the way verse 14 ends, able to instruct one another. What is instruction?
So they have in the church, one of the callings of the church is to instruct, is to teach in the faith. And that is alongside and along with the office of the ministry, a part of the office of the ministry, in which we are called to teach, to preach, teach, and administer the sacraments. But here, as well as they you know, with every congregation, as the pastor is doing just that, preaching and teaching, there is that the congregation sitting there and receiving, but it's not a it's a passive reception of the gifts of God, but they are active in the sense of listening, so that they're not given something that doesn't come from God. They're listening with an attentive ear, so that they can test the Spirit. They can either in the service beforehand, they are before the sermon, they're proclaiming the creed, or it's right after. So that pastor better make sure that that sermon is in line with that very articles of our faith. This is who we are worshiping. This is who has given us life. And so here as well, since they have been instructed and taught, and since they've been given this faith, they are to teach and teach one another. You know, when you're looking at this, one of the things to keep in mind is our vocations, right? Mm-hmm. What are we called to do as God's people?
As little as possible. Can just we be honest for a moment?
Just trying to get on by.
Yes, let's be honest with each other. I mean, really, that sort of is what I think our sinful nature drives us to, is as little as possible.
When it comes to the proclamation of the word, when it comes to stepping out and saying to a friend, you know, that they've been wandering away. Yeah. Mm. Avoiding those tough, difficult conversations. Yeah, our flesh does want to flee from that, right? But we are called to love our neighbor. And or who is our neighbor then, as I go back to that statement?
Wow, you know, that's as a whole other program, isn't it?
As your vocation, yeah. Right? It gives you it gives you a better perspective. Because if you just say, you know, love your neighbor, of course we are to love everyone as Christ has. But that is so hard of a concept, then we end up loving no one. But Christ has given us people to love immediately. So you're a husband, aren't you?
Yes.
And a father.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sure.
So you are called to instruct, right, in your own home, your children.
Yeah, that's Luther's commendation from the Small Catechism.
Absolutely.
As head of household, it is my responsibility and charge.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, and it's a wonderful blessing to have that time with your family, with your wife and your children, to instruct, to teach, to encourage them, because they're being sent out into a world that is and always will be hostile towards the word of Christ until he returns. They are been given this as we are baptized into Christ. One of the, as we heard in last week's gospel lesson, if you're in the 3-year lectionary, the distinction of John's baptism in Christ, right? Christ baptism is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit brings us in the faith, keeps us in the faith, and draws us into this very word, the word of Christ in Holy Scripture. So as we're in that, we're given the knowledge of Jesus Christ and what he has done, and we are then called to instruct.
Now, this may come as a shock to some, but we are supposed to be so well informed in the Scriptures, in the Word of God, that we can teach one another. Really?
Yeah. And yes. Yes. We are supposed to teach each other, and come along beside each other, and help. Because there are going to be those times, you know, as we have with Paul's other letters about older women instructing younger women, older men instructing younger men about what it is to be a man, right? Where are they supposed to get that knowledge? I mean, are they supposed to?
Well, if you look at today's world,
are they supposed to just pick that up? Because I mean, is it just solely because of their experience? Is that all Paul is saying there? Because then it's pretty shallow, right? I'm just going to teach you based on my own experience. Or are they going back to God's word and applying God's word to their experience, both positively and negatively, as a edification of, yes, here in my sickness, I trust in the Lord and thy will be done. Or, yes, I messed up as a husband here and I want to teach you of the place where I messed up, right? Because I wasn't doing devotions. Yeah. I wasn't doing this or whatever. Yeah. Whatever it is. I hope our elders of our church aren't just going to their life experience, but they're going back to the Word of God to teach.
So you actually have to know something that's not just opinion-driven.
Yeah, it's not just your opinion.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's problematic, isn't it?
Hey, we all have an opinion. And usually our opinion is just so based on our emotion.
Is it not fun to stick your finger in culture's eye?
Yeah.
And
unfortunately, when we poke it in culture's eye, it's poking it in our own, because we bring culture into our church, you know? And we try to, you know, it's like, we read scripture and it's like, well, but how do you feel about it? I don't care how you feel about it.
Oh, now you have committed the arch sin of the day to trample upon my feelings. You are insensitive.
Good.
Get thou to a counselor, sir.
You need me to trample on your feelings.
Where do they send people who are considered to be culturally insensitive?
They send them to my
aromatherapy. That's what you need, some aromatherapy.
And we rejoice together. That we have a home.
You have hurt my feelings.
You have a home. If that is you, you have a home in Trinity Lutheran Church.
If you want your feelings hurt, come to
on,
Trinity.
Come on home.
I can see your church sign now. Come on in. We'll hurt your feelings.
Because they need to be hurt. So does mine.
Your board of elders is going to have a conversation with you this evening, I think, when you...
We will have a good old laugh because we all have these feelings that we forget. We forget sometimes that the fall, it didn't just affect our dreams and desires. Hmm. It affected our feelings, too.
All of us, yeah, totally.
Right? Hmm. And sometimes our feelings are the ones that are leading us astray. Yeah. And when those feelings are going contrary to the Word of God, well, they need to be checked at the door. And my feelings, too. Because sometimes I have feelings that, you know, I don't really want to confront this person. Yeah, I'm scared.
I feel like God doesn't love me. I feel like God wants me to be happy, so I'm gonna divorce my wife and find a trophy bride. I feel that the pastor doesn't do it.
I was just thinking, you know, the other day about we were talking about, theology of the cross, you know, and all the different things about that, and I was thinking, you know, as pastors, as seminarians, sometimes we are the worst at that, because, you know, we get this feeling, hey, I'm preaching right, I'm administering the sacraments according to the Word of God. Where are the people? You know?
Yeah, what signs and wonders have you done lately?
Where are the financial numbers? You know, so you think a little tit for tat, you know, I'll do it this way, Lord. Now just bless it in the way I think it should be blessed.
Yeah.
And
you know, if God only listened to me once in a while, imagine what the world would be like.
I think we know what that would look like.
We do, don't we?
And that's the place we're trying to avoid.
Let's grab a quick call before we have to go to the break. We got about a minute, Mike. Get your question in and we'll pick it up on the other side of the break. Go ahead.
Okay, well listen, I'm on the road, so I don't have my Bible with me. But you were saying, does the brothers in Christ also, you know, does it also include sisters? Well, in the earlier part of the book of Genesis, it says that both men and women will both be called man. That's a quote in Genesis, in the early part. So maybe that answers your question.
Yeah, I'll have to look that up, and
we'll take a look at that real quick
See where that would be. There's definitely a distinction, you know. I know in there are, you know, we have places where there it talks about there'll be neither male nor female, right?
Well, the creed, who for us men and for our salvation.
Sure. I mean, part of it is the way in which pronouns are. It's supposed to be used. We kind of lost that within English, but also how we speak. And he first is writing the letter to when Paul's writing, he writes the letter to the brothers who would then proclaim the letter to the congregation. Doesn't mean that he is just exclusively talking to them. No, he's talking to the congregation, but he's talking to those that would have to preach and teach and instruct according to what he has just wrote. But of course, when Paul is talking about the whole congregation, he's talking about our brothers and sisters.
It's the Bible study. Join us. You can use the number locally, 821-0850. Try the 800 number. It's supposed to be up and working. 1-800-730-2727. If it's not, use the email. It works great. KFUO@KFUO.org. The break is a great time to get in. We'll be right back. Stick around.
Live Wednesday on Issues Etc., we'll talk with international human rights attorney Dr. John Warwick Montgomery about the display of a crucifix in Poland's parliament. We'll also discuss the health risks of oral contraceptives with Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse.
Issues Etc., live weekday afternoons from 3 to 5 on KFUO.
Whether you're a regular worshiper at the church of your choice or find it difficult to get to church on Sunday morning, you may benefit from our live worship broadcasts each week on Worldwide KFUO. Our early service begins at 8:15 Central and originates from Trinity Lutheran Church in Edwardsville, where Reverend John Shank serves as pastor. Our live late worship broadcast at 10:45 comes from Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, where Pastor Kevin Golden leads the service. Sunday mornings on Worldwide KFUO.
On the next Lamplighter Theater.
We ought to put candles in our windows. That's a sign that we still remember what that special night means to the world.
We are going to put a candle in our window, everybody's window, as a sign that the light of the world has come.
Toby! If we don't find him soon, he could freeze to death tonight.
Don't miss the next Lamplighter Theater.
Saturday mornings at 11 on Worldwide KFUO.
Welcome back. It's the Bible study on the Messenger of Good News Worldwide, KFUO. Pastor John Shank is here. You just heard that promo if you want to hear Pastor Shank preach. What is it? Early service on KFUO Sunday mornings, right? How early is early over in Edwardsville?
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. Well, I think most folks can roust themselves out by 8 o'clock.
Yeah, you could always you could always listen to KFUO if you're going to the late service in your own congregation. And or on the way to church for Bible study. I know of other
get a jump on everybody else.
Yeah.
It's always a good thing to be prepared. Again, there's that Advent call to prepare. Be prepared. That was John the Baptist's call also on Jordan's bank, the Baptist cry. You know, we sang that one last weekend in my congregation.
Mm-hmm.
I guess maybe a good place to go at this point is to simply distinguish some terms, because we were talking about what does it mean when Paul says brothers, who is a brother, who isn't a brother. Language is often a failure when defining these theological terms, at least in English, because brother has male connotation, but if it includes everybody, as you pointed out, you have to be aware of that. But let's talk about the word ministry. What is a ministry? Who is a minister? What isn't? I guess maybe the better question is, what isn't a ministry?
Yeah. And there's there's much talk about this very thing. So we have to understand our terms. The word here for minister or ministry, it also it comes from the word that can mean servant as well, to be of service.
But I mean, if I sweep up the parking lot at church, do I have a parking lot ministry?
Again, yeah.
No, I don't mean to belittle anyone. I'm asking this quite seriously, because it seems we're going one extreme or the other. Either there's only the pastor who is the ministry, or everybody is a ministry, and there's got to be that happy middle that Lutherans talk about.
Right. I don't know if it's a happy happy middle ground or whatever it is. I think a lot of people become a little more uncomfortable when we use the term ministry for things that don't include the preaching, teaching, and administration of the sacraments. It appears to me from hearing their argumentation, it appears that they're feel that it then distracts. What are we talking about when we use that term? We want the term to, to be clear, to always have that same meaning instead of being diluted out. And so then we say, oh, no, I mean the ministry of Christ here, right? But if we understood the other way, you know, if someone comes up to me and says, hi, I I'm not Lutheran, but I serve on this ministry team and this other thing. I don't correct them. I understand that they're trying to be of service to their congregation, and we can understand what they're talking about, as long as we can define our terms, right? But more properly, then, in our context, most of the time, we have the one ministry, the ministry of Christ, preaching His word, receiving His gifts, right? And publicly, the pastor is called for the congregation on behalf of the body of the Christ, and this is to be a gift to Christ's body, right? From Christ Himself, who instituted this, right? Mm-hmm. To go and forgive sins, right? Not based on what the pastor has done or accomplished for them, or prayers, or anything specifically that he has made it so, but he brings the very promise of God, what Christ has done through His cross, through His death and resurrection, that all-veiling sacrifice, that atonement, that forgiveness that He has won for us all. Now, specifically, you know, we apply it to the individuals, right? Hmm. And then yeah. to our congregation as a collective.
Let's go to the phones, pick up a call from Cheryl in Indianapolis. Luke 24, Pastor, if you want to refer to that. Good morning, Cheryl. Thanks for the call.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I couldn't get through on the 800 number. They said it was
well. Santa's elves are busy this time of year. We'll get them back on task.
Okay, so I was looking at Luke 24. That I was thinking about the job of the minister and his preaching, where Jesus says to his disciples before He ascends, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins be proclaimed in His name." And then I was also looking at 1 Corinthians 14, 24 to 25, and Paul is speaking about why you should use prophecy instead of tongues. And he says, "But if all prophesy and an unbeliever or outsider enters, he is convicted by all, he is called to account by all, the secrets of his heart are disclosed, and so, falling on his face, he will worship God and declare that God is really among you." And I think, you know, the pastor doesn't have this in mind when he's working up his sermon and he wants to preach about the budget. If an outsider comes in, we want him to hear the message that repentance and forgiveness of sins proclaimed in Jesus' name. It so that he will realize that God is really among us.
Yes.
God's present.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're making some great points about what the pastor should be thinking of holistically. You know, what's the background? What is his point? What is the overall thing that should be coming across in a message? And if that's not Christ and the forgiveness of sins, then we need to go back over, do some editing, and go back through. Now, it doesn't mean, though, that our offerings were not also part of Paul's ministry to take care of the sick and to make sure that this proclamation can continue, right? Because you have been washed. You have been sanctified. You've been made His holy people. And now that we have been made as holy people, do we not desire that gift to be given to others? Or do we just intend to be like, "Oh, I'm glad this church was able to be here for me. I'll use it just for me and then be good." So there is a law application to us about different texts that speak about our generosity, you know, and our call to care. So I'd also say, you know, hopefully, as you hear, if your pastor's ever talking about budget or offering, that you hear about Christ as well. And because what's the point? What's the point of our giving if it's not for the proclamation of the word to go out and for the care of the souls that have been called? Because don't muzzle the ox, right? So your minister has been given to you as a gift of God. So how do we treat that gift of God? Do we make it so that he can't afford to live and his family to live? Is that how we treat a gift of God? Or do we rejoice, right? So we can be, we can still have Christ preached in a message where true stewardship and our understanding of why we're giving these things to.
It's a hard vocation. It's a hard craft to learn. But you can have a stewardship sermon where you talk about the budget and at the same time proclaim Christ so that it's in a context that a stranger in your midst will get the message.
Yep. You just have to be careful.
Like, exactly. I mean,
Cheryl is very astute here. She is. Because she knows. I mean, it's like Paul's talking to her here. She's been instructed. She's full of the knowledge, and she knows that a sermon should be about Jesus, right?
Yeah, Emmanuel, that's what Christ among us, yeah,
right,
God with us.
This is why we're gathered here, and this is why Christ came. He lived, he died, he rose. So, Pastor, let's hear about him. And so she's very, very wise, very wise.
Cheryl, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
If you'd like to join us, 314-821-0850. As you heard, the 800 number is still a little bit of difficulty. We're working on that. We're in Romans chapter 15, verses 14 to 21, talking a little bit about ministry. And since we've got snowy weather coming our way, Pastor, why don't you strap on the old snowshoes? We're going to go in some deep territory here, some deep snow.
All right.
All right, with perhaps a bit of jeopardy of avalanche if we don't tread carefully and lightly. Is ministry a form of worship?
Is ministry a form of worship?
And before you answer that, let me tell you what I'm thinking about here.
Okay.
Can you connect that, the commendation that we are to offer ourselves up as living sacrifices? Am I going in the right direction here about ministry and worship and how we conduct ourselves, comport ourselves in our daily
again,
life.
Again, we need that video camera in here for someone to see your hand gestures as you're trying to throw it my way.
I'm pushing it your way.
Come on, you're doing the hula over here, trying to hot
the
potato
host
this over
shuffle
to me.
Is what it's officially called.
Yeah, if I re-ask the question enough times to myself, maybe I can fully understand, because it's so what is worship? I think we again have to go back.
Well,
there
can it be a form of worship? Again, not to pick on anyone who may have this. I don't know anyone who does, so I'm not picking on the parking lot ministry, but can someone in earnest service to the church see that as a form of worship?
I would say no. Right? What is worship? Okay, because then we have to go back to be what is worship?
See, it's important to make these distinctions because, as you said earlier, feelings often drive what we call certain things today, so that people can feel a part of things.
And not everything is. It just needs to be re-looked at. You are a part of things because you're in Christ. So whatever we say here, don't leave thinking, well, I'm not a part of things. You're a part of a greatest thing ever. You're a part of the God made flesh.
But I want to feel special about that.
Oh, yes. See, that's where we go wrong, because I want to be better than the one next to me.
Thank you.
I want to be a little bit higher up on the body.
And I'm not criticizing
him.
Anyone. I'm just throwing this out for discussion, because I think if you really check down and look at how culture has come into the church, as you've pointed out, you'll see a lot of these things.
Okay. So again, let's step back for a second. What is worship? For our church, we always define what worship is God giving us his gifts. We call it divine service, right? God's service. And then we render back to him our thanks, right? But we have to understand the order of things. Makes a huge difference. If you get it wrong, you really, really get it wrong, right? You don't render up our lives as a sacrifice to him, and then he gives you his grace. Nope, really, really wrong, and so far off. That's pagan worship. Christian worship is where Christ comes to you as the one who has sacrificed himself for you. He has shed his blood, and now, he did this for the reason of his love for mankind, for all of us. For all of humanity, he has died for the sins of all. Well, Okay. But as you said, well, what about me, right? How do I play out in that all? Well, here you go, right? And there in the divine service, the Rolands are there, right? Where he says, sure. I forgive you your sin. Or where he goes, I baptize Roland in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right? Or at the rail where he says, take and eat. And then we'll come through, take and drink. For the forgiveness of your sins, right? So there, this all-encompassing sacrifice of Christ, his forgiveness, his grace, all this is now given to you in a very subjective me, I, person, one person there, right?
Right.
Though we are gathered with all the saints at that moment, right? So I would refrain from calling something else equal to that, because there, out in the parking lot, which is a wonderful service to the church and a wonderful service to your neighbor who needs to be able to get in and not fall down and break her hip and wants to come to, because what is she trying to do? She's trying to come, or he is trying to come to worship, right? But out in the parking lot, Christ isn't giving off of his body here, right? He's not having the Lord's Supper out there. He's having it inside, and his word is most likely not being proclaimed out there by the pastor. He's being proclaimed in there. So you do these things to assist the pastor, right? And you serve the tables, as we have in Acts, so the pastor can be about the business of preaching, teaching, and ministering the sacraments, right? So these are wonderful things so that the pastor can focus on the call that he has been called into, as Paul was focused. Paul wasn't out doing, gathering in the wheat grinding the wheat or baking it into bread, though these are things are wonderful practices that God and vocations that God has called people into, but the process of doing them is not worship, right? Worship is where we gather together as the people of God and receive the gifts of God.
You know, I will say this: I don't know what to call myself in relation to this radio program. Some very kind people have said, oh, you've got a great ministry there at KFUO. I don't see myself as a minister, and I want to be courteous with that, and I thank people, but I don't know that I would call this a ministry, because I'm simply facilitating. You're the guy that's here teaching us. You're the pastor in the room. I'm just asking the questions. You know, as you can tell, I'm a humble guy. I'm proud of that fact. No, but really, it's maybe it's just in deference to the time that you've put in study and in sacrifice of your time and treasure to become a pastor, that I don't feel comfortable maybe even claiming something similar to that.
Yeah, and again, it's a defining of terms. I mean, is this a service to the church? Well, it is. It's a wonderful service to the church. Are you a minister in that sense of being a servant? Okay. Right,
yeah.
But I understand your reluctance, so that we don't confuse that there is an office of the Holy Ministry.
Yeah. That's what
right?
it is.
Yeah. And we're not all called in that office. It doesn't make anyone higher or lower on the rung, right? Mm-hmm. Because we all have been given the same gifts in Christ, which is eternal life. So there is no distinction between us.
See, I'm just a guy sweeping up the parking lot. That's me.
Well, in certain ways, it is an apt description, right?
Yeah.
What you're doing is removing barriers that people have as they come towards the scripture and say, I don't understand this. Well, you get to be their voice and say, I don't, to a pastor, whoever it is, me or, hundreds of other pastors that step through these doors or call on the phone, and you get to say, I don't understand this. And on behalf of all those other people that are reading the scripture, who is this? Who are we talking about? And how do we understand this? So you get to remove the barrier for them, and so that they can learn.
Let's go back to the phones, because Jan has been waiting. Jan, good morning. Thanks for the call.
Good morning, Roland. Thank you for taking the call. Hi, Pastor.
Hi, Jan.
I need your help with 1 John 3, verses 19 through 22. he seems to be giving us an acid test. And we have this thing going on, this battle, this struggle between our sinful nature and the Holy Spirit that God has caused to dwell in us. How can a human being witness to Christ? That's what our sinful nature says, that, you know, you're not part of this plan.
Yeah.
And so I think this passage gives some insight about when our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, because our faith and our witness are not all that there is.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
I do. I think you're making a great point. Let's let other people in to what you're looking at. 1 John 3:19. By this we know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before Him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and we know, and He knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. So one thing is that you said that there are a lot of people out there that will be conflicted and of their own hearts, that their hearts might be condemning them when they should not be, right? When they know or have been told by God's word that they are forgiven, that they are sanctified, that in holy baptism they're washed clean, in the table they are fed on eternal life with the very body and blood of Christ. So we have these wonderful gifts that speak of who we are in Him. Now, if I go out because I'm still in the flesh and I still have temptation, if I still even fall to temptation, does that destroy who I am in Christ? See, my heart would call out and say, how can you be a Christian, right? How can you be a Christian if you feel this way, if you are angry towards your neighbor or whatever?
Or doing these things.
Where I know I have the forgiveness of Christ. See, the conscience, which we could even translate in there as the heart, right? The conscience is that umpire, like in baseball, right, calling balls and strikes. So the umpire there calling balls and strikes, you know, sometimes the umpires, just like in real baseball, they get it wrong, right? They just get it wrong. And so our conscience, it needs to be governed and then corrected when they get a call wrong. If they said, you know, if your conscience, after you have confessed your sin, And yes, I am a poor, miserable sinner. I deserve nothing but punishment here and eternally. But as you have heard the message from your pastor, as from Christ Himself, you are forgiven. If your heart then says, but does He really mean me? Your heart needs to be told, you know, to get behind me, Satan. You're making a wrong call there. Right, is that umpire is making a wrong call. They're getting off, right? They're calling a ball a strike or whatever it is, and so they need to be set straight, because even the conscience for us has been affected by sin too. It's not the perfect barometer, so it needs to be informed and conformed to God's word and then corrected. But here we see where it says that God is greater than our hearts, and He knows everything. He knows what Christ has done, and Christ continually goes before the Father on your behalf, Jan, and all those who are listening, and shows of the great sacrifice in which He has made for you and for all that are in Him.
Yeah, and I just want to encourage you, and kudos, Roland, the difficulty associated with asking the hard questions. And please know that I pray for you and your witness.
Well, thank you.
Great.
And God be with you as well. Thank you, Jan. Good
yeah.
call.
This Roland needs those prayers, this program, this church body.
This radio station.
Yeah. That's a wonderful service that you can render up. by lifting, rolling up in prayer, and as he said, the radio station and all. It's wonderful.
Now, time's drawing short, and I have to bring up this. You know, Paul is painting a picture that, I want to make sure we have it in focus. When he talks about to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, the priestly service of the gospel of God so that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable. Now, is he painting the picture of him as priest at the altar offering up the Gentiles as a sacrifice? Is that what I'm seeing in this? And if so, how does that make you feel as a Gentile?
Offering.
You know what they did to the sacrifices, don't you?
Well, different things happened to the sacrifices, right? Some of them were wave offerings. Some of them were Thanksgiving offerings. Some of them were sacrifices.
Yeah.
In the sense of blood sacrifices. And I don't think that this is a sacrifice which renders forgiveness of sins. But we have it as a possession. One way to look at this, I'm going to draw our attention to Ephesians chapter 5, starting at 25.
Okay.
And it says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that might be holy without blemish." So Christ is making us holy. And how does he do it? Well, he washes us clean in the waters of holy baptism, and he sanctifies us, makes us pure, makes us holy through the preaching of his word, which, of course, is connected with the activity of the Holy Spirit, right? And he does it through people like Paul, your own minister, your own pastor within your midst. For what purpose? Well, to present the church to himself in all splendor, right? On the last day, all the saints will be gathered together. There's a great resurrection of all the dead, but then the saints, those that have been sanctified, those that have been made holy, those who have been called in the faith, will be gathered together, and they'll be presented as a bride ready for her groom. Right? And that's what we have here. That's Paul's working amongst us as Gentiles. He is the one in 2 Corinthians we have where he talks about one who is pointing ahead to the bridegroom, right? So he is, it's like John the Baptist and Paul are singing off the same sheet music, right? It's like being the best man. Okay, so they point the bride to the groom and say, "Look, there's your groom. Here he is." And it's a wonderful ministry. That's what we get to do in the office, right?
Right.
We point the church to her groom and say, "Here he is, and here he comes." And in Advent, we are specifically talking about that wonderful preparation, right? And in that preparation,
yeah, no one gets married without preparing first, do they?
No. There's things for which we do them, do for them and do with them as a couple. We talk about what marriage is, how God instituted this marriage, and as the body of Christ, we get prepared for this wedding feast. But it's not something that we actually do in the preparation, but God prepares us by washing us clean, as we hear in this text, by giving us his Holy Spirit, whom he has poured out on all flesh, so our sons and our daughters shall prophesy, right? Shall proclaim. And that's from Joel, which is one of those great Advent Old Testament proclamations of the coming of the Christ.
Yeah. This is a great verse when you read that the Gentiles are acceptable.
Yeah.
You know, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Whew.
Because we were not.
That's right.
We were unclean. We're unholy. We were enemies of God. And this is what he has done for you. You who are listening, he has died for you and made you his acceptable offering to himself.
You know, the next time you come in, we'll have to talk about why so many of your answers have such a sacramental foundation to them. You can't miss that. It's very good. Pastor John Shank serves at Trinity Lutheran Church in Edwardsville, Illinois. Our early broadcast service on Sunday mornings. You can stream it at KFUO.org. Coming up next, Faith and Family. Don't miss Mark Hawkinson at noon. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Listen to the Bible study Monday through Friday at this time.
The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for the Bible Study to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Bible Study programs at kfuo.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.